The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, we're back. It's always great to talk to John Wilner, who knows the Pac-12 better than anyone. And the Pac-12, which is conveniently written off, is everybody's favorite pinata, is smiling this morning collectively because of the Lincoln-Riley news. And John, thank you very much for the time. I know everyone loves to take shots, but this time it looks like maybe Southern Cal got it right. Good afternoon, and what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge hire for USC, Paul, and I think it's a huge hire for the Pac-12, and I think it's a huge hire for college football west of Norman, Oklahoma, really, right? I mean, the lack of playoff berths, the lack of Heisman Trophy candidates, just the general dearth of star power out west, I think has really hurt the sport. And Riley brings a lot of that back and does it at, a blue blood program.
John, no one has had longer to search for a new coach than Mike Bone. And, you know, at times it looked like everybody was getting raises and contract extensions as a result. What have you learned? What have you heard about the wooing of Lincoln Riley?
You know, I don't know all of the specifics, but I do know that a lot of the names that were associated with USC publicly, I think that there was very little substance behind them, a lot of that. It was very much agent-driven, coach-driven leaks, whether it was to gain leverage for contract extensions or something else. But I don't really believe that USC had real substantive negotiations with very many coaches. Mike Bone woke up on Saturday morning thinking he was going to get Lincoln Riley, I do not know. But I think it's a very small circle of coaches that they seriously pursued over this weekend.
And in terms of Lincoln Riley making the call, I know you certainly have seen the narrative. If you haven't, just stick around and listen to what the callers to this program are saying. And they are saying it, especially for coming from Oklahoma, that Lincoln Riley did not look forward to the SEC, and he chose an easier path. How would people out there respond to that allegation, or not really an allegation, but that claim?
Well, I mean, I think that it's certainly true, right? I mean, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, A&M, Florida versus Oregon, Washington, I don't know. It's absolutely true. But I don't think there's and USC, you know, even when they're bad, they're a half step away from being the dominant program out here, right? And that would not be the case for Oklahoma and the SEC. But so what is my response? Coaches leave jobs for other jobs all the time because they think it's a better gig. And whatever reason they have for defining better gig, they do it. More money, easier path to championships in the playoffs. I mean, they do it all the time. It's just kind of packaged differently. And the SEC, the 16-team SEC, is, you know, an entirely different animal than we've had in the sport ever. But my response is, so what?
Yeah, and I think that's a good response, John, because it doesn't really matter. And quite frankly, I think the decision really more had to do with, you know, why did he want to leave Oklahoma? I think we may never know, or we may find out soon. But going to a program like SC, where the myth has been shattered, seems to be a pretty good fixer-upper, because nobody has done well out there on a consistent basis in a very long time.
Well, no, it's been since Pete Carroll was there. But, you know, Lincoln Riley got on campus today, and he was looking at, you know, the Heisman trophies. You know, I mean, there's very few places that can match Oklahoma for Heisman winners and national championships and total victories. But USC is one of them, right? I mean, it's been down, but it is, you know, what, one of the five or six, you know, blue blood programs, top coaching jobs in the country. There's no doubt about it.
John, and we had him on the other day, and he's one that you're better off not asking him about or because you're not going to get an answer. But I'm curious what you think of the future of Mario Cristobal at Oregon. He has a game this weekend, but his name has been linked all across the board as well.
It has. I mean, I think there's probably a little less chance of him leaving since Florida has a coach. But, you know, until that Miami door is closed, I don't think we can, you know, just assume that Cristobal will be back in Eugene next season, right? I mean, it's his alma mater. He's from South Florida. He's got family there. He's visiting his mother there today, who's ill. I just don't – and, you know, there's always the pull of the alma mater. So, plus you got the LSU job. You got the Oklahoma job. You don't know what other gigs are going to come up either. The coaching carousel isn't finished spinning. So, I think there's a better chance than not that Cristobal will be back in Eugene next year, but I don't think it's a done deal yet.
John, you mentioned those other two jobs, and again, we're all speculating. It doesn't matter whether you're in Baton Rouge or Norman or where you are or we're sitting here. I mean, these are some pretty choice jobs out there, LSU and Oklahoma, to say the least. Just what are your thoughts on the attractiveness of those and where could either AD turn at this point?
You know, I'm just surprised about the LSU situation, right? I mean, you would have thought that I thought there was more of a plan, you know, considering the head start they had with the vacancy, right? And yet it seems like they may not have a plan, and they're just kind of bouncing around. Oklahoma's situation is a little different because, you know, you could argue that it is, you know, once they are playing in the SEC and you're evaluating based on a, you know, head-to-head and ability to get players, you know, Oklahoma is, what, the fourth best job in that conference, maybe the fifth? I mean, the Sooners kind of have a be careful what you wish for deal, I think, right? They're going to get $8 bajillion more. But there's a cost, a competitive cost to making this move. I mean, you'd say there's a competitive cost for Texas to make a move, but Texas isn't competitive. So it's going to be interesting to see how the whole thing plays out and whether in, you know, 3 or 4 years the Sooners and Longhorns are maybe regretting the move.
Don't say – you're not allowed to say that on this network, John, okay?
I mean, it's going to be a fascinating experiment. I mean, that's kind of what it is in a little way. It's an experiment. Given – and things could change, right? If Nick Saban retires, that the whole dynamics change. But until that happens, I don't know what – you know, with the price Oklahoma and Texas are going to pay with what wins and losses, we'll see if it makes up, if all the money makes up for it.
And finally, it's not happening this year again with the CFP, but where do you think the CFP executives are on making this move to expand? Although we're getting a new group of schools this year. You can't say it's the same old four.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody needed that, right? The sport needed a little bit of some fresh faces. There's no doubt about that. Not sure if we need Notre Dame losing to somebody 45-14, but we'll see if that happens. You know, they're getting close, right? People are discounting them, but they could make it. I think that they're going to settle. I mean, eight is out. There was never going to be an agreement on eight between the Group of Five and the SEC, right? They wanted two totally different things. It was almost like Stanky was in the steel cage match with Mike Oresko, and it was going to be a battle to the end. But I think that they're going to settle on automatic bids for the five Power Five champs. So that would include the Big 12, notably. Automatic bids for the five Power Five champs plus an automatic bid for the Group of Five. That, to me, is going to be get the most support. I think the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12 are all kind of in alignment there. The Group of Five is not going to be happy because it probably does limit their options, their pathways. But nobody's going to get everything they want, and so you're going to have to give. Everybody's going to have to give a little bit, and I would imagine that it'll be 12 with the Power Five champs getting automatic bids.
John, always great to have you. Congratulations on the league you cover coming back to reality. We will talk to you very soon. Good to see you.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Okay, I'll see you.
John Wilner from the Mercury News covering the Pac-12. We'll get the OU response a little bit later on. McElroy is around the corner. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back here on a Monday afternoon, and Chris is in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Big LSU fan here, and I was just going to share how I'm feeling about now about this LSU coaches search. In my opinion, every day that goes by that we don't have a new coach is directly proportional to how impressive this hire better be. Because we had a head start on everybody else. And here we are. You know, I want to be like Florida fans today. I want to be sitting here with
Chris,
our new coach.
Let me give you a couple of tips. And I'm saying this without knowing it. I don't know any more than you do. But I thought there would be a hire today because I felt like the clock was ticking. The only reason there isn't a hire today would indicate to me that either Scott Woodward was so blindsided by Lincoln Riley going to Southern Cal that he needed a day to recover, which I doubt, or he's waiting for someone else. He's either waiting for someone to change their mind, or he's waiting for someone to finish playing football.
Well, I hope you're right about that. You know, the thing that would concern me the most is with Will Wade being under investigation.
Right.
And got some Title IX issues on the football side. I heard one commentator, LSU commentator, mention a phrase of institutional instability if you have problems in two different programs. And if those type of issues would be to come down, you know, it really causes your university major problems. And I hope there's not a stigma hanging over LSU right now. I hope that's not part of the problem.
Chris, I don't think you know, institutional control is the issue. And I say that, and I listen, he's on the clock. Everyone knows that. But I just don't think that Scott Woodward is panicking right now. I think he has a plan. These guys just don't decide on one person. So even if it was Lincoln Riley, he had a backup. I'm either looking at somebody playing this weekend, or I don't know if there's any other answer, because you have to. We're 2 weeks and 2 days away from National Signing Day. You can't waste any more time, and it's not like at this point you're telling someone, hey, if you need 24 hours to walk in the woods. That's not how this works. We're now into extra period. If you're whomever, you've had all the time in the world. Now, Lincoln Riley was different because, you know, he had probably LSU after him. He may have had other schools. And there was at least a thought that he would be playing again this Saturday. So you're reluctant to contact him. Now, you're doing that between, you know, off the air. You're contacting his agent. But I would bet that he got the call from USC on the bus ride back to Stillwater.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, you know, it's directly proportional to how impressive the hire is. So, you know, we're waiting, and all can be well if he comes out with an impressive hire. Then we see his wisdom and that he did know what he was doing.
Well, Chris, let me also say it's only 3:20 in Baton Rouge. It's getting late, but it's not midnight yet. So I feel like Scott Woodward has been down this road many, many times. I'm sure he's got a whiteboard, either or. Now, I'm giving him a lot of credit because I still think he's a smart guy. Now, I know that if you're an LSU fan, you're getting very nervous right now. But it's pretty obvious he didn't want the man who ended up at Florida. He could have had him 2 weeks ago. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Daryl is up next. How are you?
What's going on, Paul?
Doing great, Daryl.
First, let me say this to the Florida fans. I mean, you got rid of Dan Mullen for that guy? Really? That guy's the answer? Oh, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. Paul, what's going to happen Saturday night, Paul, in your opinion?
You tell me, Daryl. You seem to know more than all of us.
Well, I would say, you know what? I wouldn't be too concerned if I was an Alabama fan. I mean, they are riding the longest winning streak in the series, which is 6 games. They, Paul, you know they didn't prepare for Auburn. There's no way, okay, they were preparing for Georgia. There's no way that when Nick Saban and all them five stars, that they would play like that, would be an 18.5-point favorite, kind of like the same way they played against Florida, kind of like the same way they played against Arkansas. But, we'll see. I can't talk no smack to Alabama right now until we beat them. We got to beat them first, then I can talk smack. Paul. You got some pull in Tennessee, right? I know you do.
That's highly debatable, but I appreciate the compliment.
Well, Paul, don't let them let that coach leave. I mean, poor Tennessee. I mean, they, you know what? They finally see a light at the end of the tunnel. I think it's going to be a train to Oklahoma. I mean, good Lord. You know that Oklahoma's going to come after that head coach big time. But I hate to see it happen to Tennessee again.
Daryl, I think there's another SEC coach who's more likely to make the move to Norman than the one at Tennessee. But that's just an opinion here. Thank you for the call, though. Let's check in with Daniel, who's up next. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Paul. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you, as a Georgia fan, you know, from the outside looking in, watching the game on Saturday between Alabama and Auburn, do you think it was something that Auburn did right to make Alabama struggle, or do you think it's just the hype of the rivalry, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm interested in what Greg McElroy has to say, because he's a lot more of a strategist than I am. I'm a fan watching the game like you are, but I didn't see Auburn do anything that exotic defensively, did you? To me, they were pretty base. They were having no difficulty with their four-man front getting in there. That's a real concern if you're thinking about Georgia coming up here with more elite athletes. So I think they played a very basic game and really drove Bryce Young crazy until the end, because Alabama just simply can't run the ball. There's no mystery. We saw it against Arkansas. We saw it against Tennessee and LSU.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing that I was paying attention to was a running game, and then with their running back going out with I think he tore a muscle or something.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, he's got to be that's another concern. Now, I do think losing their star receiver in the second half hurt them a little bit, but I think what you saw at the end is when Alabama gets completely focused, nothing is they were not going to deter. I mean, it's amazing if you watch that 12 play drive again, how anything had anything gone wrong, the game was over. That was I don't know. I mean, I'm going to keep repeating myself because I don't know how else to describe it as one of the greatest drives I have ever seen in the history of college football. Maybe Joe Montana at Notre Dame had a better one. Maybe somebody else did, but I've never seen one. Let's check in with Terry in South Carolina. Hello, Terry. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I'm a big Clemson fan, of course, but I do watch a lot of college football, and I was watching the Auburn and Alabama game. Probably like Alabama a little bit better than Auburn, but anyway, that's beside the point. At the very end of the game, in my opinion, it appeared that there was some holding going on, and it was not called, and I think there may have been a intentional grounding, but
I saw quite a few videos of other plays that were missed as well. So there was a face mask. I mean, they're always going to be that. In the end, I think that game came down to a couple of decisions by Brian Harsin. and he was wrong on every one of them. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So expect a lot of people to get involved in the Oklahoma decision. And the latest is probably the best known living Oklahoma coach, Barry Switzer. He was on a radio station somewhere. I'm trying to figure out where this was. Oh, ESPN 102.3 in Sioux Falls. And he said that given the opportunity to make the decision, he would hire Mike Leach as the next head coach. Talked about two 10-win seasons at Texas Tech, Washington State, where he won 10, and now what he's he said, Barry's up there in years. Don't feel bad. He said he just now got to Ole Miss. I mean Mississippi State, and look what he's done there. Of course, Leach was in Norman for a number of years and played a big role in the success. So now we've had Heupel mentioned from the SEC, who won the national championship there as a quarterback. Shane Beamer mentioned, who served under Lincoln Riley and just recently left the staff. And a lot of people have said today that if Shane Beamer had remained there, he might have just been elevated. They like to do that at OU. And now Mike Leach. Is there another SEC coach who could possibly be mentioned for the school that is not yet in the SEC? Let's talk to Red Dog next. I'm sure he's got some intellectual views on the subject and others.
They ought to pick Jim Ross, Paul. I think he'd be a great coach at Oklahoma. What do you think, Jim Ross? Yeah. Hey, Paul, who you got, Georgia or Bama?
I never picked a game until Saturday, Red Dog. Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, after that poor, you said Alabama was focused at what, beating a 6-5 football team? Wow. We are going to destroy them in Mercedes. I mean, it's going to be a bloodbath. 28-10, Paul. And I hope Alabama gets back into the playoff and we kill them again. Go Dogs, Paul.
I'm talking to a guy who is barking on a Monday afternoon after Thanksgiving. What did I do to deserve this? Charles is up next in Georgia. Go right ahead, Charles.
Hey, Paul, just want to call in and tell you, first time calling in, but just want to tell you how much I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm a diehard Bulldogs, Georgia Bulldogs fan. And it does good for our local community here now that we've got Billy Napier as the coach at Florida. I know there's a lot of Florida fans around here. But, we've got Billy now that's at Florida. Got Ladd McConkey that's at Georgia, the wide receiver McConkey, and then we got Luke Griffin that are at Missouri. I mean, they're just carrying on, the things the coaches around this area here have instilled in them for the last, you know, for the last 30, 40 years. And just want to tell you that I enjoy your show, but I think Billy Napier is going to be good for the University of Florida. I think that he's going to bring some class back to the University of Florida, to their coaching staff, and I think things is going to be really good for him. And I hate it because Florida got a hold of him. I'd like to have him in Georgia. But
well, he's a really good coach, and the reaction so far has been very good. Tommy is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, Paul. Love your show, brother.
Thank you.
Yep. I live in Greenville, South Carolina. Billy Napier played his college ball here at Furman University.
Oh, sure.
And I got to go see him play a lot. He may not be a winning coach, but I guarantee you he'll bring some character to the football team.
Well, I think they needed that at Florida, and I think the reaction so far has really been very positive. Thank you for the call. Corky is in Fort Worth. Hello, Corky.
Man, it's about time. Boy, do I have something to talk about.
Let's go.
So these Alabama fans need to realize, yeah, Notre Dame, we back our way in and get beat down. Look at Alabama. They barely beat LSU with a quarterback with a broken leg, then one playing with a broken leg. You barely beat a team who fired their coach you beat two teams that just fired their coach. Your team is not that good. Barely losing because it's a robbery. They're not that good. And their chances should not be 59% to make the playoff. If they lose to Georgia, they have 0%. So what is their percentage of beating Georgia? That's what their percentage is of making the playoff. So if their percentage is 30%, that's where they are. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. Big O in Arkansas is up next. Hello, Big O.
Hey, Paul. Greetings from your old stomping grounds of West Tennessee and Northeast Arkansas.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. So, Paul, here's my question. You know, I hadn't heard anybody say this. I kind of remember they used to say that Urban Meyer left Florida because of Nick Saban was about to give him a heart attack. So do you think the reason that Lincoln Riley maybe made the decision, because as successful as he was at Oklahoma, and he was pretty successful, to leave there, do you think that has anything to do with them moving into the SEC?
It has to factor in the back of his mind for two reasons. Number one, it was going to be more difficult moving ahead. And secondly, the heartburn that he's encountering in the Big 12. I don't think the Big 12 is really playing fair with Oklahoma or Texas. But, you know, that's their own issue. They made the decision to get out. And to me, they need to expedite their departure. But yeah, I think the attraction of Southern Cal is being lost in the shuffle here. Oklahoma is a really good job. It's a top job, but I frankly think Southern Cal might be a smidge better. Let's check in with Jeff, who is in Florida. Hello, Jeff.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Bobby Jones said that money is going to ruin amateur sports, and he is true. It has absolutely ruined it. And they... I felt like that Tim Tebow would be a great prospect to be the coach, simply to be a great recruiter.
Yeah, I think our friend there may have been on a party line, which is hard to do nowadays. But it sounded. I remember when we were kids, we would share a line with somebody else, and that sounded like that. Now, unless he had a rotary phone made in the 50s or 60s. I'm either imagining that, but Tebow was mentioned right here on Friday by Robert Griffin to be the next Florida coach. I have not detected a lot of enthusiasm from Tebow to be a coach there. You'd think if he was interested, he would have been one under Dan Mullen, who was like a big brother to him. But I think it would be a smart offer, though. I would offer Tebow a job on the staff and maybe the recruiting coordinator. I don't think anybody could recruit better than Tebow. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Josh is in Virginia. Hello, Josh.
How you doing, Paul? I'm just celebrating more and more with Michigan beating the hated Ohio, and also just enjoying the fact that Harbaugh is finally paying off.
Well, he is. It took a considerably long period of time, but the investment was wise to stay the course, and he's 60 minutes away from being in the playoff.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I was actually thinking, I was watching the game last night, or on Saturday with Alabama, and I see a lot of similarities between their team and the Buckeyes, where they're very good at a few things, but it seems like they struggle running the ball and just, you know, these absent-minded things that happen on defense that I just don't understand. I really think this is a down year for Alabama this year, and I think that Georgia is going to get their revenge just like my Wolverines got on the Buckeyes.
Hey, thank you for the call. We have a long way to go before Saturday afternoon at 4. We are taking a break right now. More to come right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back, and let's talk to Tommy in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Tommy.
Say, Paul, I got something I want to tell you, and then if you don't mind, then I want to throw something past you here.
Sure.
I tell you, Paul, it pained me to watch you do the show following Cecil's passing, and I tell you what it reminded me of. I saw that pained look on your face when you did the show following Tammy's passing. And I said a prayer for you right away, brother.
Tommy, I can't thank you enough for saying that. That is so meaningful and so deeply appreciated.
Let me throw this past you, Paul. Here's my thought on you kind of answered Daryl with, I'm kind of thinking of someone else. You know the Stoops family is awful close.
Yes.
And big brother Bobby, you know what he's doing here. He's fixing to finish the season up down in Oklahoma. And he's always kept his ties down there, and he's always stood beside the university. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit that he agreed to finish this season up down there with the hopes possibly coming from Oklahoma now that he would have some influence on possibly getting Mark down there. That's just my opinion, that there's some possibilities into that.
Yeah, Tommy, I think you may be right. I was surprised when I heard that, but then again, the school was blindsided. A lot of times you have a reasonably good idea something could be happening, like Florida. They've known for 2 or 3 weeks Dan Mullen could be out. But Oklahoma, I don't think, had any inkling, although they had heard the rumors about LSU. So they had to make a quick decision. Recruits are bailing, players are heading to the portal, so they looked around, and Bob Stoops, I think, still has an office out there. So that was you're correct on that, and I do know that the Stoops family, the brothers, are all close. Now, would Mark Stoops want to go to Oklahoma, knowing that he's in the shadow of his brother? I can't understand. I can't dissect the sibling psychology there. I never had a brother. But I would imagine some of that could exist. But I think Mark Stoops is in play a couple of places.
I totally agree with you, Paul. I hope not. Of course, I want him here. That's just the bottom line. I know everybody else does. But I just kind of figured possibly, like you said, by them being blindsided like they did, just bam, out of the blue, that Raleigh left them high and dry, and possibly even Bobby might have contacted the university AD and
you could be right.
Athletic department said I would come down there in a minute and help you out the rest of this year.
Thank you very much, Tommy, and thank you for the kind words. It's not unprecedented. Barry Alvarez did this a couple of times, I believe, at Wisconsin. He filled in for the bowl game. And others have done it as well. But, you know, Bob Stoops has he works for Fox, and I'm sure he still lives out in Norman. He's still involved in the program, and he was an easy call. Now, the question I think some people are asking is, Bob Stoops want the job? You know, I don't know. I mean, you've been out of coaching. You've been doing TV, and suddenly there's an opening, and the program is in good shape. Let's continue with more phone calls. Brad is up next. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Brad, great to hear from you.
Thank you. I was going to tell you, your tribute to Cecil Hurt was spot on. And, I mean, he was just a class guy. And he was such, I guess, I'm not smart enough to know what a Renaissance man is, but the last time I visited with him at Coleman Coliseum at a basketball game, he had the book, The Catcher and the Rye, there in front of him at the basketball game. And, you know, I would put Cecil probably in the same herd, in the same ballpark with Al Van Hoos and John Pruitt and some of those. These were the sports writers back in the day that would, if you told them something confidentially, it stayed confidential. You know, if it was something going on about a player or whatever the situation might be. But one of your callers had said, I just wonder what Cecil would have written about the game on Saturday. And I promise you, he probably would have referenced some medieval, some war, some Greek war.
Aristophanes or something, yeah. You know, it's funny. He loved that book. I've seen him with that J.D. Salinger classic as well. And I
Hillbilly Elegy.
Well, I don't know about that.
Is it the Hillbilly Elegy?
J.D. Salinger. Vance wrote Hillbilly. I think it's J.D. Vance wrote. Hillbilly
That's
Elegy.
Right.
Not that this is a an English lit class here or American literature, but Brad, you're right. Being in Tuscaloosa last week, I was in Birmingham a week ago, Monday, and then in Auburn over the weekend. Everywhere I went, I ran into people that wanted to talk about Cecil, and I think we'll be talking about him for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, I did a tribute to him, and I'd like to leave that with you. If you can put me on hold, it was entitled "A Dying Breed." I did a blog about it.
Okay, yeah, I will. I'll do that. Thank you, Brad. Thank you for calling.
All right.
And you be well. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
Cat Daddy is up next. Hello, Cat Daddy.
Big Paul, you looking good, sounding good. You do know that last Friday I was being sarcastic about Roman Hoff.
Well, I knew that Roman had called that shot. I can't remember. I'd driven over to the show with him from the hotel, and Roman predicted, I believe, South Carolina to win by double digits.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. We know that didn't happen. But here's something that's going on social media today. Coming out of Clemson, they are reporting one website called the Clemson Hill, which is a website from Clemson fans,
right,
saying that Venables is going to Oklahoma. He's verbally committed, and that DJ, our quarterback, and some other players will be going with Venables to go to Oklahoma. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, unfortunately, we're out of time. That rumor is out there. Your guess would be as good as mine. Bob Stoops is out recruiting tonight for Oklahoma.